everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
So, Liz.
Hey, Carrie.
We made it through season one.
Yes.
Welcome to season two.
Yes.
Before we get into things, do you have any reflections on our first six episodes?
Oh, wow. There's so many, but it's just been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of work to do the show, but yes, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I have so many, like, favorite episodes, like, or favorite moments.
Definitely.
Favorite moments from the episodes. But the best are, like, the comments on YouTube, on the YouTube channel.
Yes.
I got to give a shout out to all of our subscribers. We are north of 2,500 subscribers. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Wait.
Let's hit that 5,000 mark and
yes,
we will celebrate.
Yes, 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 yes. And we're, you know, we're doing so many exciting things. And my favorite part is just interacting with our subscribers on on YouTube, or we get a lot of feedback on our shorts on TikTok and stuff like that, and people comment and everything, or just in my travels. I'm amazed at how many of my friends and family tune into the show. So that's got to be the favorite part of it, or somebody will say that they saw something on the show and it resonated with them, or they used it, or they thought it was funny, or, you know, what have you. So I think, how about you?
Same thing. I think it's been so much fun. I think we touched on some really good topics that, from the comments, a lot of people resonated with. So, and thank you to all of our subscribers, listeners, for tuning in and commenting and telling us what you think. So I just think it's been great, and I'm glad we're back for season two.
Me too. Me too.
So let's kick it off with a teachable moment.
Okay. I'm down. I'm down. So the teachable moment that I have right now is, I think it's appropriate at the start of a new season, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're in 2026 now. It's a new year, new season. And there's a lot of doing the most energy that we tend to get into because we're multi-passionate, we can multitask, and the world expects a lot of us as Black women. But my teachable moment is kind of counterintuitive to that energy, and that is that pause is an action and silence speaks volumes. So sometimes it's not about what we are doing and what we can doing, but sometimes it's really all about what we don't do and what we don't say and how there's power in that. So
you hear my silence?
Yo, that's the Black
that
conversation.
Was that was me.
We do a lot of Black conversation on this
we
show that way.
We do. The and unspoken that, remains unspoken. But
yeah,
spoken.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, it's just a helpful reminder. And, you know, that number one, like, I had a mentor tell me years ago, she was like, Liz, not all conversations are worth having with all people.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me because I get into my defensive energy sometimes, and I want to explain myself and make myself clear and explain and talk and da 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 da, you know, and everything. And and when she said that to me, I was like Eddie Murphy said, aha,
aha,
aha. Like, we'll revisit that later, but, you know, it was just one of those kind of aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, sometimes you don't have to have that conversation with that annoying coworker,
right,
or that customer that you couldn't come to terms with. Or, you know, as PR professionals, you know, the stories that you kill and the headlines that never make it to print are sometimes your biggest wins and more important than the press that you do get.
Yeah.
Like if you can keep a bad story out of the headlines, that's more valuable sometimes than making the headline.
Right.
Yeah. So so that's sort of the first kind of point into this whole pauses in action, and silence speaks volume.
I do think, because, you know, I think about some of the stuff sometimes we see, like videos on TikTok where people just, if they would have just said, you know what? Like the guy, it's above me now. We've all seen that.
Yeah.
Like we need to be more like, it's above me now. And just when it comes to coworkers sometimes.
Like Teddy Pendergrass said, you gotta let it go.
Yes. I don't know if the neckline applies, but okay.
Or for the younger set, let it go.
Right.
Maybe that's not. Maybe that's
that might be more appropriate.
Maybe that's for the, that's more G-rated conversation. But, you know, and part and parcel to that is, you know, too often we listen to respond instead of listening to understand. And part of listening to understand is you got to be quiet and, you know, and take it in, right? And that allows you not to take what's being said personally,
yeah,
right? Because we get caught up in our emotions and get all the feels and stuff like that. And a lot of times we think we have to do the most to get ahead, mm-hmm, in our jobs, in our careers, or whatever, mm-hmm, we're doing. But often the most powerful moments and insights and moments of clarity that I've had in my journey is when I've actually taken a pause,
yeah,
to reflect and, mm-hmm, lean into my mindfulness practice and meditate, rest, reset. And often that's the most powerful thing we can do for ourselves as professionals.
So I understand, like, taking a pause is kind of for me to figure out my path. But a lot of times in the corporate setting, you know, you're told to be seen, to have an opinion, to have a voice. So how do we balance that?
For me, I think that's where the power of discernment comes, mm-hmm, in. And you have to know yourself, right? If you're one of these people who your natural inclination in every meeting is to, like, spar verbally with your,
right,
colleagues and counterparts, then practice not saying something in the meeting. Practice listening.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're the wallflower in the meeting, practice saying one thing in the meeting,
mm-hmm,
because there's a happy medium. Like, in my sorority life, one of the most powerful experiences that I had that helped me really develop as a leader, quite frankly, was being parliamentarian.
Mm-hmm.
Because in parliamentarian and in our world, you don't speak at meetings.
Right.
Right? Like, you're there to advise the presiding officer and stuff like that. So if she needs you, then, you know, you two have, like, one of those lawyer conferences like they have on TV. And then you,
right,
come back. But I was one of these people that had to question everything, had to know everything, had to do everything. And it was doing the most in meetings until, mm-hmm, I became parliamentarian. Maybe they put me there to shut me up. I don't know. But but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that, because it showed me that I could still add value by being an active listener in the conversation. So when I came out of the role as parliamentarian, I got better at discerning when I felt the need to do the most and say the most,
yeah,
versus when I really needed to talk. Because, you know, when you talk all the time, it's like white noise.
Yeah. People start to tune out. And if you even do have a point, who heard it? Because you said so much. Not you, but you know what I mean.
No, give me. That's why you got the bars on the show. Because I speak so much, and then you'll come in with one line, and it's a mic drop moment, and it's
not
all over.
True. These teachable moments are very valuable.
So sometimes, you know, taking that pause and take the act of pausing is an action. So I think we have to give ourselves permission to,
yeah,
act in a still way. and
yeah.
and communicate in a silent way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we don't always remember to do that as Black women yeah. who tend to do the most just because it's what we do.
So the other part to that is when we are silent, sometimes people take that as an offense.
Like, how so?
Oh, you have nothing to say, which must mean you have a lot to say.
Mm. Well, I think that's where authenticity comes into play,
mm.
right? Because you can be silent, and is that? And we have to ask ourselves: am I reacting that way to Carrie's silence because of that, what Carrie's giving me, or what I'm giving me? Am I storytelling yeah. my like? Is that about me, or is that about Carrie? Number one, and number two, you know. It's about discerning, like if your silence impacts me or is giving me energy, then I have agency to say, Carrie, you're being awfully quiet.
Yeah.
Is there something, what's the unspoken thing that needs to be said?
Right.
And we can have that conversation. You have to have the managerial courage to go there
mm-hmm.
and make sure every voice is heard. Because as a leader, that's your job. You need right. to make sure every voice is heard. And Carrie could just be like, oh, no, I'm just having a bad day. I'm preoccupied.
I'm totally okay with what we're talking about.
Right.
right.
It doesn't always mean that.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean that. And sometimes other people's silence and how we react to it says more about us than it does about them.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I would say is you don't always have to speak or act to hold a place of power. Sometimes you just being is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I look at Barack Obama. He's not the president. He's not making decisions. He's not doing everything. But he still holds a place of power in this country, in our collective psyche. In, you know, and when he speaks, because he doesn't speak all the time, when he speaks, the whole world is going to tune in and yeah. listen. That's the power of the pause in
right.
action, the power of the silence.
Right. And not to stay in the political lane, but even with Kamala Harris, there was a point there where people didn't hear from her. And they're like, why aren't we hearing from her? Where is she? What's she doing? And she's just being silent. She's just letting it happen how it has to happen. And when the time is right, she will say something.
And it'll be so impactful because
yeah.
she took the pause, because
right.
she leaned into the power of silence speaking volumes. And her silence
yeah.
was speaking volumes
yeah.
at that. Like, and again, that wasn't a reflection of anything about her. It said more mm-hmm. about the people that were bothered by
that
her silence
yeah.
than it said about
mm-hmm.
her. So
yeah.
that's the teachable moment. My reminder is that you don't have to always be doing the most and saying the most. Sometimes you just have to remember pause is an action, and your silence can speak volumes.
It's beneficial to do the least.
Sometimes. No, sometimes it is. The things you say no to are just as important, if not more so, than the stuff you say yes to.
Yes.
And that's where your purpose comes in, to help you discern that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, no, thank you, Carrie. So
we'll be doing that.
Short and sweet one today.
I know, that was good, though.
And it was really because I wanted to get into today's top 10.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or a brand with an incredible story to tell, but struggling to get the word out? In today's crowded market, getting noticed is tougher than ever. There's been countless incredible businesses with powerful messages that have just gotten lost in the noise. That's where Imagine PR and Marketing comes in. We don't just craft press releases. We become the voice of your brand, meticulously developing and telling your unique story in a way that truly resonates with your audience and gets attention. Ready to transform your brand's visibility? Visit ImaginePRM.com today.
Oh, this is going to be a good one?
I think so. I hope the people out there enjoy it.
It is definitely tapping into one of my favorite people of
mine
all time.
Mine too. Sound, you know, another.
And this is classic.
Classic. So today's top 10 are the top 10 business lessons coming from the book of one Edward Reagan Murphy, known to the people out there as Eddie Murphy, and two of his best chapter texts,
mm-hmm.
Coming to America.
The Book of Coming to America.
Aha. And the Book of Trading Places. And my shirt today is an homage to Eddie's bosses and the main the villains in that, Duke and Duke Commodities.
Randall.
And
Mortimer.
Randolph and Mortimer Duke, founded by them in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is where the movie was based. So, you know.
Do these youngins know about Trading Places? Maybe we should give them a little synopsis.
Okay, wait. Y'all know about Coming to America, right? Okay. So that's Prince Hakeem looking for his queen in Queens and things like that. But Trading Places is this amazing story where Eddie Murphy is like hustle man, basically. And the Dukes, who run this commodities exchange brokerage, very wealthy, powerful men on basically a Wall Street type of an environment in the movie, they have a dollar bet that they could take someone like a street hustler kind of person. A lot of passive racism undertones with them in the movie. Appropriate for the times, though.
Right.
But they could take somebody like Eddie Murphy's character, Billy Ray Valentine, mm-hmm. Capricorn, mm-hmm. and take him and swap places with Dan Aykroyd, who's the golden child of their brokerage
Lewis.
House. And mm-hmm. Lewis Winthorpe. The second, the third, the fourth, the 15th, like something like that. So, like hilarity ensues, because they're having this argument: is it nature or is it nurture that makes somebody successful? And they bet a dollar, and so that's Trading Places. I mean,
by the way, Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie, since we're right out of the holidays. Please add that to your Christmas viewing. Right up there. You could get mad and powerful and die hard and then just laugh your tail off in Trading Places, okay? And it's also got a great Happy New Year snap.
It does.
For reference,
Die Hard is also a
It's a Christmas movie.
Christmas
I'm saying,
movie,
like, you can put... You know, can put
we're
both
not
of
getting
those,
into that.
You can put both of those on your Christmas
blank,
viewing
blank,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No. There's no need to debate that in this space. In this space. Maybe out there. So these are my top 10 lessons from Coming to America and Trading Places.
Okay.
All right. So lesson number one is to protect your intellectual property or your IP.
What is IP?
So that's like your intellectual property are things that you create and own, your brand,
mm-hmm.
Your music, your poetry, this podcast,
mm-hmm.
Your products, anything that you create and that is uniquely yours. This is like in the music business, owning your masters, right?
Yes.
Like, because people will come and co-opt your creativity. And there's this amazing scene in Coming to America when Cleo McDowell is basically the running
when you first see those...
The golden arcs. They're not the
right.
they're not the golden
arches.
They don't have the Big Mac. They have the Big Mick.
Yes.
Yo, knock it off. Like, yo, there's no, I don't know what people are talking about. Like, that's the John Amos character, Cleo McDowell.
Yes.
And through the whole thing, he's acting like, you know, they're not infringing on somebody else's IP, you know. But you have to protect your IP. If you're an author, if you write poetry, music, whatever, you know, handle your business. Make sure that your paperwork is straight. If you work for a company, there are a lot of like inventors and scientists mm-hmm. and people out there doing like amazing creative things for companies and stuff like that, especially as consultants. You mm-hmm. got to make sure that your contract language has what you own versus what the company is commissioning. you for?
There is an unwritten rule that is actually written in the papers that you very often sign when you agree to join a company, that anything you produce on that company's equipment, time, belongs to the company.
That they
and
own
a
it.
A lot of people don't even realize that.
Exactly. Because you're so excited. Oh, I got the job. I got the job. And then then you go like to take your thing somewhere else. And you're, like,
and you're like,
or your friends and family were like, oh, man, you must be paid because you invented
you did,
this.
Right. Nope.
So make sure you protect your IP.
That's why there are copyrights, trademarks, all those things.
And read those contracts.
So...
Lesson number two is one of my favorite lines from Coming to America, where she says, Lisa McDowell is at the fundraiser where Randy Watson and Sexual Chocolate are performing.
Yes.
Check out the world tour. And she says, money that jingles is good, but folds is better.
Way better.
Okay. So, you know, we talk a lot about securing the bag.
Right.
For real. Right. And, but, you know, let's not dismiss the money that jingles.
I mean, all of it.
We'll
is
take
beneficial.
It all. We even take the crypto.
But
you know what I'm saying?
It's like, good. But I like to roll it up.
But that scene when she says, you know, We appreciate the kind that jingles, but we'd rather have the kind that folds, or she says something to that effect.
Yep.
What I love about the lesson there is, one, secure the bag, but more importantly, ask for the order. That's a sales technique, right? You've got to ask for what you want to close the deal, to get what you want, right? You're not going to, you know, if you're interviewing for a job, if you're an entrepreneur trying to navigate a contract and stuff like that, know your worth and ask for it.
Yeah. One of my business partners always says all they could say is no. And then what have you lost? Because you didn't have it anyway.
Nothing.
So.
Because the worst thing that you want to do is be underpaid coming into a situation. You get to working and then you find out or you get a sense of what your coworkers are making versus what you're making. And you're like.
Yeah.
WTF.
I mean, that has happened to me before. I've not around the coworkers, but I have taken a role for what I thought was a good salary. And then I get into the role and I'm like, oh, I'm way underpaid for now all that you're asking me for. Like, so you have to,
So be like, be like Lisa McDowell and ask for more of that money that folds.
Yeah.
Ask for what you want. Ask for the order.
Or the project or...
Or whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Ask for what you want. And so number three on the list, and we talk about this on the podcast a lot, is that branding matters. And, you know, memorable marketing is so important, whether you're marketing yourself, a product at work, a service in your job, or marketing your own business. But one of the most slammingest jingles in the history of marketing and jingles.
It should have been an actual jingle, okay? They should have marketed the heck out of this.
They should have created a product just to go with the jingle in real life.
We still sing this jingle to this day,
and
it was not a real jingle.
And that is, so let your soul glow. I can't hit that note.
I can't either.
But the guy that sang Soul Glow was on a Tiny Desk or one of those.
Did.
Yeah, and he was still killing it. Google it. It's on TikTok.
But wait, one of the best lines is he pulls up to the house and he's getting his soul glow and the music is on and then he gets out the car and it's the same.
Or his whole family gets up at the couch.
Oh, yes,
gets on the couch and three. But that soul glow commercial, that soul glow commercial and the jingle were so popping. Prince Akeem cut off his natural ponytail that he had been growing since birth. Because he thought he wanted
that soul glow.
So, and so, you know, again, we cannot underestimate the the power of personal branding and marketing yourself the correct way, managing the conversation. We talk about all these things on the podcast, but that's why we created this platform to help people do that. So you got to find your own personal soul glow.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, like it, in terms of how you manage your reputation and manage the conversation about you at work.
I think we need to talk about branding on, you know, like go deeper into branding in another episode, because I don't think a lot of people understand the value of figuring out your personal brand as a professional, how you want to show up and where you want and how that impacts where you want to go. Mm-hmm. But then even outside of corporate, your brand as if you're an entrepreneur, not just your business brand, but you as the leader of the company.
Absolutely.
And I work with people often trying to figure that part out, and it's beneficial.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people could benefit from hearing more about that.
So we'll have a teachable moment on how to get in touch with your inner soul glow jingle.
I love it.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. So that's number three. Number four, and I'll try to pick these up. Move with purpose and stay focused on the mission. We talk a lot about purpose and mission because things either align with the purpose and the mission and you say yes to them or they don't. Mm-hmm. So in Coming to America, Prince Hakeem was very focused on the mission.
And we know what his mission was.
To find himself a queen. To find his queen but in Queens.
In Queens.
He literally flew all the way from Zamunda to Queens to find his queen.
And you would think there was an abundance of them there. It's in the title.
Exactly. So I Prince Hakeem is a great example of nothing was going to deter him.
Mm-hmm.
Even Samuel Jackson trying to shoot up the restaurant.
Right.
Like, you know, like the crazy apartment, you know, where they live
Or the soul glow.
Yeah. You know, like nothing was going to stop him from his mission. Even Simi, who was kind of like hating sometimes, like who reluctantly went along and stuff, like he was like, no.
Shout out to
Arsenio.
My favorite Arsenio Hall role.
So, so the mission is important. So, so Prince Hakeem shows us a very determined person who is determined to fulfill the mission.
Yeah.
And number five comes back to my T-shirt and the Duke brothers and Trading Places, and that is diversity matters. So Billy Ray Valentine brought diversity to Duke and Duke because of their little dollar bet, right? And in doing so, he disrupted their entire corporate culture.
And that is the key. That is what happens in this film, spoiler alert. They think that they're going to get one thing.
And they get something.
They get something totally different that completely changes how they operate and their own success.
Absolutely. And it happens because Billy Ray Valentine, even though he's a fish out of water at first, he's authentically himself through the whole thing. And the same skills that allowed him to thrive and survive on the street helped him to thrive and survive at the commodities exchange.
Despite how they try to make him.
Exactly. But then the other side of it is that his experience there broadened his mindset and his profession and his perspective. Like his view of people who had money and things like that totally changed. And you know, and it just broadened his mindset because he was there. He had access. He was in the room, which is what, you know, this podcast and my coaching practice and other things that we do is about. Because if when you're not in the room, you don't know how these people think and how they move. And you think it's so like certain things are for other people and not for you. But then when you get in the room, you're like, huh.
It's interesting because and I think you and I can relate to this and hopefully we're opening up what other people can see and understand. You know, you see these executives from afar and you think, oh no, like the CEO of the company got on the elevator with me and I froze up. No, they're human beings.
Exactly.
And they have flaws and
That's right.
have aspirations just like you and I do. And it's easier to have a conversation with them if you remember that. And if you're authentic, then usually they're more approachable than you think. No,
absolutely.
I'm not saying there are some people who are just, you know, assholes. So
you can say that because out of the room.
He's out of the room. but most often, understanding that people have different perspectives and being willing to accept that and just be like, oh, you know, that's somebody who aspired to be CEO, but is still an average person just like me.
Exactly.
And I can have a conversation with them.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean Billy Ray Valentine's journey is a great example of that. And then the other piece of diversity, it's not just about like race and culture and things like that. If you look at the team that they assembled,
yes,
you had Eddie Murphy as Billy Ray Valentine, Dan Aykroyd as Lewis Winthorpe.
And this is definitely diverse perspective talking about here.
They joined forces. And Jamie Lee Curtis,
one of my favorite
as Ophelia.
Roles
and then you had Coleman, and I can't recall the actor, the guy's
I can't either,
the actor,
but, yes.
but he's like a Hollywood old school legend. Like the four of them, he was the butler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have a butler, like a streetwalker, a hustler, and a pampered golden boy, and they all and none of them could have taken down the Dukes by themselves.
But together, with all of their knowledge, all of their skills,
their perspectives, their background, their intel, because Coleman knew all about the, you know.
Exactly. Insight is important.
Exactly.
When you're planning a scheme.
Exactly. Exactly. So diversity matters. All right.
No, please don't be out there planning schemes, though.
No. Yeah, we got to put that disclaimer so we don't get sued. So number six is kind of dovetails into that. You got to be careful how you treat people on your way up.
Yeah.
Because in corporate settings in particular, anybody can go from being your subordinate to your peer to your boss in record time.
Absolutely.
So the same people, you know, somebody could climb past you or whatever, or the same, well, they say it like the same people you meet on the way up are going to be the ones you meet on the way down.
Yep.
So you got to be nice to everybody, and you just have to be careful how you treat people. And trading places and coming to America, both are great examples of that. Like Cleo McDowell had no words, no time, no nothing for Eddie Murphy until he found out
the
boy got his own money. Right. When I say the boy got his own money. That part, you know, and in Trading Places, that was the whole point of the whole movie, right? Was that like Winthorpe was the golden boy until he wasn't, and his friends, he lost his fiance, all of his friends, and everything like that.
Yep.
And then when he and Billy Ray came out on top at the end, everybody was checking for him again.
Of course.
And it's like, dude, really?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do you want to give away the Easter egg? Between the two movies?
You do it. Because that's another great example of be careful how you treat people on your way up.
So it's the end of the movie, right?
It's towards
the end.
It's towards the end of Coming
to
America.
It's after the reveal of Coming to America. It's after the reveal and everybody knows that Prince Hakeem is Prince Hakeem.
No, it's him and Lisa when they fall in love.
Oh, okay. Well,
they
he gives money to these two homeless guys on the street, and they turn out to be the Duke.
The Duke brothers. And one looks at the other. Randolph looks at Mortimer. Mortimer looks at Randolph and says, "We're back."
Right.
Right. That's the Easter egg, the nod from Coming to America to Trading Places. And
was awesome.
But it's a great moment because old Mortimer and Randolph would have looked down on...
Absolutely. They would have seen the homeless and person in the street and kept moving.
Exactly.
But the point is that he sees them. We know who they are. He doesn't,
right.
but... Yeah.
And Lisa's blown away by that. She's like, you're so kind. You're so, you know,
yeah.
And everything. So be careful how you treat people on your way out. Number seven is there are no shortcuts to success.
Girl, this is an important one for me. Not me personally, but I see people all the time trying to do the get there quick. How can I skip 7-8 steps?
No dues paying at all. Right. Yeah.
It does not work that way. The best way to get there is to do the work.
Yeah. So in Trading Places, Billy Ray Valentine had to study the commodities game. Now, they tried to teach him, like, orange juice, and, you know, right. And there's a very mm-hmm. condescending scene yes. where Eddie Murphy breaks the third wall for the fourth wall or whatever it's called, and is like, but he did have to study. He had to study the reports. He had to study the financials. He had to study how the markets work and the business, you know, that he was in, because he wanted to thrive and, yeah. you know, and do well. So he put in the work to learn the commodities game, mm-hmm. you know, and similarly in trading, and I mean, in Coming to America, Prince Akeem and Semi, it's one of the funniest scenes in the movie where they're at the club meeting all the different girls who are like,
yeah,
cuckoo for Cocoa Puff.
Another classic part of the movie. This is what makes it so good. There's so many moments in the movie, but this was really good.
But like they sit there and they basically have these like little mini speed dates with all these different women. And they had to go through that work because, yeah. like Mr. Clarence said, you can't meet. They had to learn by doing the work that, quote unquote, like Mr. Clarence said,
yeah.
you can't meet good, clean girls at the club.
Right.
You know, you got to.
They had to find that out.
They had to find that out. Exactly. They had to do the work to get from point A to point B. And our corporate journeys are the same thing. You're not yeah. going to love every job, every coworker, every assignment, everything that, you know, you're not going to love everything. Sometimes you have to work through that right. stuff to get to the prize that you're after, to reach your goal. And so you got to do, and it takes a lot of work and commitment to live the dream.
Yep.
So be like Prince Akeem. and number eight is you got to learn how to play the game. Like,
that's why we're here.
For real, for real. That's
for real,
it.
For real.
So in Trading Places, you know, it's all about the game. Like, mm-hmm. like the Dukes were playing a game when they made their little dollar bet in yeah. terms of, you know, could they, ruin this person's life or whatever the right. case may be. But Billy Ray and Lewis both learned the game. They learned the game that the Dukes were playing, and they learned the commodities game, and they learned how to beat the Dukes at their own game, right? And our journeys as corporate professionals are the same. You know, we have to learn the game. We have to learn, right. To put it in a more professional way, the dynamics and the unspoken rules of the corporate environments that we're navigating, which is what this podcast and pretty much everything I do in my coaching journey is about, yep. to shine light on that so that you could be successful. And what I love about Trading Places is that both Billy Ray and Lewis learned to play the game together, and they learned to do it without compromising who they were. They were yeah. authentic to themselves the whole time they were playing the game to take down the Dukes.
Yeah. To use their individual skills that complemented each other to get the job done.
Exactly.
And the job was to take down the Dukes.
Exactly. And like Eddie Murphy's character didn't stop, you know, that kind of slick talking, you know, kind of like, and Lewis was still that kind of pampered, you know, like hoity-toity guy, but...
Although, spoiler alert, he falls in love with Ophelia.
He does. But they were still themselves while they were doing it. And I know there's a racket or a limited belief that a lot of us as Black women navigating corporate spaces believe that playing the game means that we have to lose part of ourselves in the process.
Yeah.
And I think that the Book of Trading Places teaches us that that's not the case.
No.
So... And number nine, is teamwork matters. Mm-hmm. You know, like you gotta, I say it all the time. I had a coaching client earlier today and I was telling her, you gotta make your problem somebody else's. And we talked about this in previous episodes. You gotta, you can't suffer in silence. And, you know, we said earlier, neither Billy Ray Valentine or Lewis Winthorpe could have fixed this problem that they finally found themselves in, especially Lewis. There's no way he could have put his life together back by himself. And Eddie Murphy's character, when he learned he was being kind of used and played out by the Dukes, you know, they couldn't have beaten the Dukes by themselves, but by assembling the right team and working as a team, they were able to do what they do, how they did it.
And the teamwork part is important because, as we said, the mission could not have been accomplished if everybody, and this goes back to something we talked about in season one, if everybody didn't play their role as a team.
Absolutely.
It's like, I don't know, Wonder Twin Powers, Voltron, all of them
all
come
of that,
together.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And there's so much power to that. And I just, so that's another lesson. And then
it can never be said enough.
It can never be said enough because, you know, success is a team sport.
Yeah.
I got bars.
You do.
That was
you
a bar. Yeah. Okay. So, and so finally, number 10, and then I have a bonus one after number 10, which I'll get to. But don't rest on your privilege.
Mm.
And I know you're like, Liz, as Black women, do we have privilege? Yeah, we do. Some of us are, you know, are in privileged positions.
Yeah,
of
I think
power,
it's a different
authority,
kind of, but yeah,
influence. But that's what I mean.
We have, if we reach a certain point, we have the ability to say we have some privilege, right?
Right.
Like, if you're the boss, you have some privilege.
Right.
Not, it's not that political privilege that people talk about, but
exactly.
You
exactly.
still can sit in a space that very few other people are sitting in.
Exactly.
And you have to realize what that means. There's some level of responsibility that comes with that.
Absolutely. I think all of us live and move in spaces where not everybody can move. Like our good director, Amir, I learned that he, did you know, like before today, he was sharing that he's a preacher. He preaches at his church.
No, I did not know that. But yeah, so I heard him share that.
That is a privileged position.
Right.
Right. Because
exactly.
People aren't called and chosen to minister and help save souls that way and bring people, you know, help people in their spiritual walk. That's a privileged position. And so a lot of us, or, you know, some, or you may have gotten a raise or a promotion or a bonus or something like that at work. That's a position of privilege
mm-hmm.
too, because you're blessed financially and not everybody is blessed.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we might not have one kind of privilege, but a lot of us do have a different kind of privilege. I think we, you know, in our lives, and we just have to be careful not to rest on our privilege or our laurels if we succeed or if we earn our way into those spaces. And both the book of Coming to America and the book of Trading Places teaches us that, like Lewis and the Duke learned this the hard way. You know, they were very privileged in the classical sense of what
Absolutely.
We talk about that word today. And they lost their privilege, you know.
In a big way.
In a big way. And, you know, in Coming to America, Eddie Murphy was very privileged in Zamunda. And,
right.
You know, but when he came.
Wipers.
And, you know.
If you haven't seen the movie, you got to see it and you don't know what that's about.
Bark like a dog. You know, like he was very privileged, and he, to the chagrin of his dad in particular, shout out to the late great James Earl Jones
mm-hmm.
and his mom, the late great Madge Sinclair.
Yes.
You know, like they, he had to let that go in order to find his queen, right? Because he didn't want anybody to marry him for his money and all of the things.
Yeah.
So, you know, how you manage your privilege is really important, and you have to be mindful about that.
Right.
And so...
Greed.
That's number 10, but I would be remiss if I didn't leave you with this bonus.
Mm-hmm. What is the bonus?
The bonus is from the book of Coming to America, and it's one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. It actually happens after the movie, where Eddie Murphy teaches us that sometimes you have to lead people by letting them get there themselves instead of spelling it all out for them.
Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Aha! Taste the soup. Sometimes you got to let them taste the soup.
Sometimes you got to let them taste the soup. Where's the spoon?
Aha! Aha!
That is one of the best moments.
But it's so
in itself
true.
Extremely teachable moment.
I mean, it's funny as all get out.
Very
and
funny.
It's so, and it's even funnier that a lot of people don't even realize that Saul is played by Eddie Murphy. But
I mean, how could you not? They played like 77 characters in the movie.
But you know, I mean, it's like the corniest of the corniest dad joke. It's so corny that it's funny, and it's funny that it's Eddie Murphy. But the reason why I put it on the list is, as leaders, I mean, we're always told you got to learn how to delegate. You can't do all the things yourself. You can't, you know, you got to empower your people. You know, you got to bring people along. You got to coach them. You got to develop them and everything. Saul could have been like, waiter, bring me my spoon.
Right.
But he didn't. He led the waiter to that realization to figure it out himself.
Right.
And sometimes we got to let the people that we're leading taste the soup.
I agree.
Aha.
Right.
Aha.
Absolutely.
Because once they do that, then they're on board with your vision, right? That lets them come to...
Then they're like, I see it. And I have a solution to your problem.
Exactly. It's empowering to them.
Right.
And they buy into your vision because you led them there.
Yeah.
Aha.
Important. Aha.
Aha. Taste the soup. That's my top 10 plus bonus.
That was good. I liked it. Anytime you bring up the Book of Trading Places or the Book of Coming to America or the Book of Boomerang,
there's so many
to this little Bible that we're building now.
Hey, you know, it's, you know, the Book of Eddie Murphy holds a lot of life lessons for all
definitely.
Of us. And I was just happy to give you a few from, you know, the chapters from Coming to America and Trading Places. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for today. Anything you want to say to the people before we wrap up episode one of season two?
I do.
Tell me.
I do. Because we are dropping this in February in honor of, we're taping in January, right? I'm running a special discount on the store.
Oh.
Around the merch.
You mean where you can get?
You can get 20% off the merch and the store. And it's in honor of... Founders Day. There's a lot of January babies in the Divine Nine.
Ah, yes.
And so a lot of us are having...
Amongst them.
Amongst them. The first and finest.
The first and finest.
But shout out to all of my D9 brothers and sisters that are having...
Yeah, it's all love over here.
That are celebrating Founders Day, because so many of us were celebrating in January, starting with January the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Not 1908, but... That's an important date for a different matter. We decided to run on the store to give anybody who shops on the store between January 15th and February 15th, 2026.
Okay.
And uses a special code.
Ooh, what's the cheat code?
Okay, you could get it two ways. One, listening to the end of this episode because you're here.
Okay.
right? And it is, let me get it. Hold on. It is J15-2026.
All right.
When you enter that at checkout, and Amir, can you put it on the screen? J15-2026 at LizThePurposeCoach.com/store.
Store.
You can get 20% off your entire order.
Okay. All right.
So shop the store because it's one
I'm
of the
go
ways.
Shopping.
Yeah, please. And it's one of the ways to help support the podcast and our ability to bring this to everybody a couple of times a month like we do.
I love it. Sounds good.
And everybody else, if you miss the discount, you can join our inner circle to get future discount codes and things of that nature. So you can bookmark the page, LizThePurposeCoach.com/invite, and all the details for joining our inner circle. It's our community. It's our own private community of our show listeners. And to continue the conversation over there, we're going to put discount codes and sales, and you'll be the first to hear the latest and greatest, like when we're dropping new merchandise or have different tools and things that we reference on the show. We're going to put it all up there, and it's a curated library of content that I use with some of my coaching clients that I want to share with others or that I have shared from my books and workshops and stuff like that. So
join us over there at the inner circle.
Join the inner circle.
Listen,
and get the discounts.
In this day and age, you honestly cannot have too many tools. You can't have too many options where you are trying to navigate this environment, especially for us today. That's the whole reason we started this.
Absolutely.
So I definitely want people to take advantage of it. So come join us in the inner circle.
And that's it. And come join us for the next episode.
Yeah, do that too.
We'll see you next time.